All right, well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And tonight I titled our teaching, Get Going. Get Going. And in 3:16 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, for this purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Unto all good works. So, as we know, all scripture is God-breathed, right? This, that we're holding in our hands, is God's word. He wrote it down for us. And it's profitable, right? He tells us that it's profitable, right? Why or how is it profitable? That the man of God may be perfect, right? Artios, the only use in the Bible, fully equipped and outfitted, to be fully equipped and outfitted and perfected, exartizo, for what purpose? Unto all good works, right? So God has given us his word so that we're fully equipped to carry out all good works, right? The things that he wants us to do, which means that God wants us to do stuff, right? There's a doing there. He wants us to know his word, and he wants us to do it. And that's what we're going to kind of see tonight. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you. God is at work in you, both to will, to desire or want to, and to do or to carry out his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and what? Disputings, right? God is at work in you in two ways. He cultivates a desire in you, and he provides the means to carry it out, right? That the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected, that he's fully equipped. So he provides you with the means to carry it out, right? And we all have freedom of will, right? That is a great gift from God. He doesn't force us to do anything. We get to choose in the end, right? The adversary possesses, but God doesn't. He gives us a choice. But God does exhort us not to argue or to push back against him, right? To do those things that he's called us to do without murmurings and disputings, right? So God works in you. He's at work in you to both to want to and to carry out his good will, right? His good pleasure. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Which is cool, because our old man nature sometimes doesn't want to do those things, right? And that's because we have an old man nature. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't really want to do that today. But God can work in you not only to be able to carry it out, but to want to do it, to be able to change your mind. And that's what we're going to see in Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? So God says that his will, the things he's asking us to do or wants us to do, is good and acceptable and what? Perfect, right? He's going to ask us to do things that are profitable. They're good, right? And they're perfect. As far as God's concerned, it's what we should be doing. And renewing your mind to God's word, what he's working in you to do, And that's how we then prove it out. We put it to the test, right? And we're able to see it pass that test. God's basically challenging us and saying, listen, if you renew your mind to my word and you do this stuff, you'll see that it works, right? You'll put it to the test and see that it passes that test. As we get going and we move in whatever direction God wants us to go, we'll see experientially that it's good and acceptable and perfect, right? Because that's God's promise, right? If we do it, we'll prove it out. We'll put it to the test and see that it passes that test, right? So as we get going and we do what God wants us to do, we're going to be able to see that experientially in our own lives, right? God wrote down his word, right? That's what it talks about in 2 Timothy 3:16. He wrote it down so that we would know it, right? I think about like what we did at kids camp, right? Jess was our information coordinator at kids camp, right? She wrote down instructions and information for people. She wrote down, how do we register for things? You know, what are we supposed to do on this day? Where are we supposed to be? When are we supposed to meet? Right? Kirsty wrote down the camp schedule for all the team leads, right? She put information out there, right? Each individual family did not need to go and find out this information because it was made available to everybody, right? Jess didn't have to call up each individual person and tell them verbally what was going on because it was written down and it was distributed, right? And that's basically what God did with his word. God's not any different, right? And sometimes we can get caught up, I know I can, get caught up in waiting for God to show me something, right? What do? God, show me what to do, right? But he's given us his word, right? Right? We sit there and we wonder, what should I do? Well, God's told us in his word a lot of things we can do, right? Sometimes we get caught up waiting around for that. But all the while we don't, you know, sometimes I get frustrated or, you know, stuck because I'm not doing anything at all. But God's word tells us that all kinds of things we can do, right? We all have a place in the body and things that we're good at, right? God's called us to be a part of this family. We are in this body where it pleases him, right? So he knows. Sometimes he knows better than we know what we're good at, right? And where we can kind of contribute and shine. Luke 16:10. Go to Luke 16:10. And that's not to say that God can't tell you stuff or show you things. But he does expect, at the very least, that you carry out what's instructed in his word, right? At the very least. Luke 16:10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? Much. Right? That's a principle in God's word. If you're faithful to the little stuff, then you get trusted with bigger stuff. Right? Then you're going to be faithful with the bigger stuff. And we've got this word of God that we have all kinds of stuff that we can do, right? We can look through the word of God and see all kinds of cool things that we can do for him, right? And we're faithful in those things, then God shows us other cool things that might not be in his word what to do, right? Sometimes it's just a matter of getting ourselves going. I remember when we were trying to find a builder for our home. You know, I was like tossing and turning and hemming and hawing about who to use and looking at every different little thing and trying to figure it all out myself. And my wonderful wife just looked at me one day and she was like, we just gotta pick something and start moving with it, right? God's gonna bless us when we start moving with something. But like, I was just stuck there trying to figure out, how are we gonna get it all done? What's gonna be perfect? How are we gonna go to work? And as soon as we just started moving with it, everything else just kind of fell into place, right? So sometimes it's a matter of just making a decision and walking out on it and then seeing God work, right? I remember something that Tim said at Pentecost this year, and I've heard Jerry say it before, that like if you don't know what your place in the body is, then just try everything. Do a bunch of stuff, right? Do a bunch of stuff and see what you're good at. You know, find a prayer partner, offer to teach, you know, help out at events and serve. Go to kids camp and be on the food crew, Elizabeth. Like, you'll find out what you're good at and what you really excel at. Just try stuff. There's all kinds of things you can do to help, and then you'll find out what really blesses you and what you're really good at, right? What are some things that we know that God tells us to do in His Word, right? Can you name something that God wants you to do from His Word? Raise your hand if you know one thing that God... Mom.
Pray.
Oh, is that yours? Ah. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we can pray. Yes, hold it.
That's pretty easy.
Speaking in tongues.
That's right. That's... Man, did you just look at my notes?
No.
No. I'm just kidding. No, it was a great answer. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says we can speak in tongues. Yeah? Anybody else? Hannah.
To love one another.
Oh my gosh, that's in my list too. Right? Holden.
Walk in the...
That's a good one. Very similar, yes. God tells us to teach in Colossians 3:16. He encourages all of us to be teachers of the word, to share it, to be ambassadors, right? 2 Corinthians 5:20, hold forth the word is similar. Philippians 2:16, to build each other up, right? To encourage or edify. Romans 14:19. We're supposed to reprove each other. Sometimes that's hard, right? Colossians 3:16, but that's a really good skill to learn how to do well because it's hard. And if you're good at it, then it's something that really blesses someone else. You're able to correct them and help them, but not make them feel terrible or guilty or condemned. Comfort, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Give, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Support, rejoice and weep. The list goes on. I won't go through all of them. But God tells us all kinds of things in His Word, and it's all addressed to all of us. It's not like it says, hey, you fellowship coordinator person, you're the one who's supposed to rejoice and weep, right? It's all of us who are born again. Go to James chapter 1, verse 22, right? And that's what God's talking about. If you're faithful in all those kinds of things He's already asked us to do in His Word, then you'll be faithful in much, in the big stuff, right? As you start to walk out and do those things and make them a part of your life and really make a commitment to walk that way, then God's going to give you bigger and bigger stuff, which is really cool. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and that word law should be the word word there, whoso looks into the perfect word of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be what?
Blessed
in his deed, right? Blessed in his deed. So God wants us to not just hear the word, not just kind of mentally ascend to it, but He wants us to be a doer of it, right? To get going and to carry it out, to do those things that He's instructed us to do. All that stuff that we just listed before, right? Pray and speak in tongues and walk in love and prove and encourage and all that stuff. He wants us to not just be like, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. That's really a good thing that God wants us to do that. He wants us to do it, to carry it out, to really walk in that. In chapter 2, verse 14, God kind of continues that discussion. In 2:14 it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him or restore him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, so the first verse asks a kind of like a rhetorical question. You know, if we just have faith, if we just have the like the hearing or the understanding of the word, but we don't have the works behind it, right? What good is it? And then he gives an example. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, okay, so that's a problem, right? Imagine you going up to your brother or sister in Christ and they're naked. That's got to be awkward, right? And they're hungry. I mean, not only are they naked, but they're hungry. Jeez. All right, well, let's say that happened. And one of you say unto them, get away from me. Depart in peace. Be warmed and filled. Right? Go away. You'll be fine. You'll be warm and you'll figure out the food thing. You'll be filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? If you just kind of say, yeah, you'll be fine, and you don't actually put clothes on them or give them any food, what good is it? What does it profit? Even so, faith, believing, understanding of the word, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, right? I'll show you that I really believe the word by doing it and by carrying it out, right? That's what, how you know, the action is what gets stuff done, right? If we just mentally ascend to it, if it's just believing with no action, right, then it's not really believing the word because we're not really carrying it out. You've got to walk the talk, as it were, right? God has fully equipped us. Right? He has fully equipped us to be able to carry that stuff out. Go to Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And this is a great parable from Jesus Christ about this subject. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There's a lot of naked people in tonight's teaching. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Right? So now we have a priest. Right? Somebody who believed God, somebody who represented God, saw this man and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, right? They were of the priestly, Levitical priestly tribe. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side, right? Saw him, saw this need, and he went by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, right, the people that Israel's like, ooh, boo, it's the Samaritans. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and what?
Do.
Go and do. Go and do likewise, right? Who walked the talk here? Was it the priest or the Levite, right? No, they knew the word of God. They were the religious example or leader, but it was all just kind of faith without works, right? When it really came down to it, they just passed by on the other side, right? And then the Samaritan, right, which they looked down on, were like, ooh, dirty Samaritan person. He was the one who really had compassion on him, right? Show me thy faith by thy works, right? He was the one who did it. He demonstrated the compassion. He took care of this guy, right? And you could see that he believed God and wanted to do the loving thing by what he did, right? And that's what God wants us to do, to be a doer of the word, to get going. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. Right, so God has fully equipped us. He gave us his word so that we would know his will for our lives. He wants us to renew our mind to that word so that we can prove it and carry it out and see it work. And he wants us to do it, not just be a hearer of it. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God, right? It's God. God is able to make all grace abound to you, right? And abound is to have in large amounts. God is able to make all grace in large amounts to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound or have in large amounts to every good work, right? So God's favor in large amounts and always having all sufficiency in all things. For what purpose? Right? So that we can carry out the large amounts of good works that God wants us to do, is at work in us to do. Right? God is the one who's equipped us. God is the one who's given us the enablement and everything we would need to be able to do it. Right? He wants to take care of all the other stuff in our lives so that we can carry out what he's called us to do, which is really cool, because we don't have to figure out everything else in order to do God's word, right? God's already promised to take care of all of it so that we can do his word, right? We trust God. We acknowledge him in all things, and he directs our paths, right? He's got our back, so we just have to walk out on it and do it, and he takes care of the rest, right? He's made it so simple for us to be able to do this stuff. It's not like he's laid all this stuff on top of us and it's a burden. He's offered and promised to take care of everything so that we can go ahead and do it, right? And be a doer of the word.